WingwoodRadio.com.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
This is a pleasure. What's going on? Did you listen to Shepherd?
I did. You know, I was telling him that the thing that I thought somebody answered those questions without flinching.
Yep.
And, you know, we're at an interesting time in our history. You know, we've seen so much craziness happen.
Right. And be successful and make it, like, still keeping your integrity.
Well, you know, and that's supposedly the whole idea, put it down, so it's very difficult to maintain that and keep
it unknown. You have a lot more freedom. Right. Now, all of a sudden, you're an artist. People hire you to do things, and you need to play a little bit. So you started as a street artist in the 70s, early 80s, is that correct?
Yeah, before they had art movement. And, yeah, I started out as a graffiti artist. And, you know, it wasn't like you had to be interviewed. It was more like you had to have the guts to do it.
Yeah,
you know,
it was more like...
Unlike a lot of, you know, the artists working today is a secret society, if you will.
Yeah, it was a secret society. You didn't have a budget. You didn't have anybody, like, giving you a space.
You had to hide from the law. You had to hide from the establishment. And it was really like you wanted to work, had to speak for itself, literally.
Yeah, it wasn't about like you becoming...
More like the art of music.
Yes.
But, you know, I was really fortunate. Around the early 80s, I was hitting, you know, breakdance moves. You had, you know, graffiti artists, Professor Flash and the Furious Five are happening. And then, you know... A few years later, you know, Run DMC. Fortunate enough to be there in a lot of different ways because I started out as a graffiti artist, and then when I transitioned to doing graphic, then it was just natural synergy that a lot of it came to mark the same way I was with a spray can.
Yeah, so you saw all of this happen. You were the creative director at Def Jam. When
I think that it's a combination of the two. I know that there are people out there. I just think it's a different world in terms of how much information we consume. Whereas in the old days, where you were going to meet, and now things just move a lot faster. And I think because of that, we take in information fast.
At the same time, if we use the tools right, you know, it's a great tool to have.
Without work, they can see it in real time. I don't have to run to Kinko's and print out a couple of copies and then come back and hope to find that. Still is consistent between Beastie Boys and those guys were looking at, you know, the rock and roll and R&B legends as examples of that's who I want to be. So the example is a little bit different, but they're still there.
Yeah, they're still there. They're still there for sure.
It's interesting. I did a series of American thing that I wanted to do. It was pop art.
Yep.
I loved Roy Lichtenstein and Robert Rauschenberg and folks like that, as well as a contemporary spin on it. And so I started making these. My idea was, okay, I want to work on something that relates to my graphic design roots, but also I want to conflag. And it's also something that never gets old. So when you see it, you go, you know what? So all I can do is build on it. I can't destroy it. I can't relate to it. At least, you know, folks that, you know, grew up here in America anyway.
Yeah.
So that was my idea. But I also thought that it was a great idea because, you know, this is supposed to be the land of opportunity. And so working with collage, my idea was I'm going to make something that is reflective of all of us. People on there and yellow people on there and, you know, the vintage magazines that are faded and crumbling. And it's reflective.
Mix of everybody.
Yeah.
And look at me. I'm Italian. I'm wearing an American flag now.
Is if we can sort of agree that it's okay to be different, maybe really my idea.
Sure. Yeah, for sure, man.
Talking about these American flags, I recently was invited by the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. And... again, it was something that, for me, was a huge honor because the Smithsonian Institute sort of honored the only artist to participate in the dedication of the opening of my lifetime. And I thought that, you know, that was a way for me to sort of say thank you. It's a, you know, reflection of all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
your life, you've seen it all. So did you keep on doing all those things simultaneously, designer?
Yeah.
And then you work your way up to being a creative director.
Right.
Back then you were still doing street art? Or
early, mid-80s, the scene was starting to die down a little. People that were a little bit more user-friendly and a little bit more palatable for collectors. And so when I got the opportunity to start, at this point, you know, I had a young son, and I had to earn a living, and a living that was consistent.
Look at that.
Very similar to when I was painting on the street, only I was doing it in a more controlled environment. But
doing what you wanted to do, just in a different way.
And you know, and we had an opportunity to make the music that we wanted to make, make the art that we wanted to make without having to go is a luxury. And so, you know, I knew that immediately.
Sure.
These days I spend a lot of time traveling and lecturing and educating young people about the history of the culture. And now they understand the value of our story, and we're getting an opportunity to tell that story to younger people. Ago, this young lady was talking to Shepard about Jean-Michel Basquiat, but I was there. You know, I saw all of that stuff with my own two eyes. And just being a part of helping to develop that, I want them to understand that I'm not reading something from a book. I help write the book.
You were there.
We were rebels.
Look at those people. Yeah. Don't do what they do. You know, street art wasn't considered art. It was like more vandalism.
You know, a son who's a parent and he's got young kids, and, you know, it's evolutionary. It's just one of those things where, you know, I'm not running from anybody. He runs out of the, you know, ATM booth, and the machine's going like, hey, and I'm looking over and I'm thinking, you know, that's the adult me. Like, you know, the younger me would have just been like, I didn't go over there, I didn't touch it.
It's very interesting. You can see the young daughter. So, you know, your life, you know, your vision on things completely.
It's funny. The thing that's really lost on a lot of young people today is that they can't even comprehend the idea of, you know, a lot of the artists that they admire. They can't wrap their mind with them. And they go, well, if you know them, why are you here with us?
Yeah.
And I explain to them, I'm here because I care about you. I'm here because art, and you care about this dance, and you care about the fashion and the culture. You need to know how it was created, because I'm in theory doing the same thing. I've just been doing it for a lot longer.
Was that important, like, to, you know, make you who you are and know what you know and, like, really reach
You know, they're trying to make their mark and perfect their craft. I think that wants to be rich, and what they don't understand is time will take care of all of those things.
Yeah, they're almost like, I'm telling you, because I deal with a lot of, the secret is artwork. You need to wake up every morning and like wanting, if you want it, you wake up, you put your work into it.
And you got to be hungry in the room still.
And
he works like a main to feed.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of people that depend on him.
There's a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, and the same thing with Jay, and the same.
For sure. Oh, well. And I'll get you again.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
You'll be here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you stopping by, talking to us, and sharing some of your